Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hey, everybody.
We are on the second issue of this Doctor Who story arc. If you'd like to listen to our previous coverage, check out our last issue. Or, I'm sorry, last episode.
Yeah.
Every time. I do it every time.
Least once.
Yeah. In our whatever. So
we come in on monstrous Gabby versus the Doctor and normal Gabby. And Doc's got the old sonic screwdriver out. And I'm not exactly sure what he does. There's something about the frequency that... that disrupts the
Doctor. Like, yeah, it's the screwdriver, and if you don't know, it's just this.
It's a really awesome drink.
It really. No.
Fair. If I drink enough of these, they'll go away, right?
That's actually not bad thinking. But yeah, it's just a sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, it's everything. It's a multi-purpose, multifunctional, multi-dimensional tool.
Yep.
And yeah, wait, don't they have a description of it in the front of the?
Do they?
I think so. Here we go. The Sonic. An engineering marvel, the Sonic screwdriver is a tool that scans, detects, unlocks, and yes, unscrews. Vulnerable to deadlock seals and wood, it's still one of the Doctor's most useful possessions. His current model accessorizes a blue tip with a coral handle.
There you go.
So there you go. Now you guys have the down low on the Sonic screwdriver.
Yep, in the second issue. Sorry, I should have done it in the first. Although he didn't really use it much in the first one.
No, not really. Actually, I don't think he got it out at all, did he? Well, oh, right there at the end. Yeah.
All right.
That's our bad. Anyways, yep. So obviously the Doctor miscalculates on this. He's like, well, that kind of sort of worked. Let's get the heck out of here. So they run, jump off the back of the train.
You're missing the part where he pushes this one guy to his death.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. He doesn't push him. But
we don't know that.
No, like the guy.
We assume the guy survives.
The guy's, no. No, he does not. Because even the Doctor's like, you know, if you're thinking of jumping, please don't. And then the guy jumps and you hear this.
Tried to be positive.
Nope, fuck that. Fuck that.
Actually, you can't even, like, I'm not even sure where the hell they're at when they jump off of here, because they're not in a
weren't they underground?
I thought they were in a subway tunnel.
Yeah.
And
well, because they still are, because they end up on the platform here. No,
yeah.
I know. It's continuity problems.
So the Doctor and Gabby jump off the train and survive.
They jump onto the platform.
Yeah.
That they go zooming past.
Maybe it was slowing down, because you see the brakes, like, right here, the
screen. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that guy got caught underneath it.
No, he touched the third rail. That's what happened.
There we go. Shorted it out.
Yep.
Anyways, so they're getting ready to... They're trying to run through the turnstile to get out of the...
subway.
Off the subway. Yep. And while that's happening, the creature's getting up closer.
Yeah, the turnstile won't turn.
Yeah. Son of a... Anyways.
Hate when that happens.
And
it's like I gotta put money in it or something.
The creature's getting closer, and the Doctor's like, whatever you do, don't look at it. And so Gabby pulls a mirror out of her purse, flashes the monster with it, and the monster turns into a security guard from the railroad, subway.
Yep. Oh, y'all, the exit, emergency exit.
Oh, the emergency exit reappears because it... disappears at some point in time. Like, you can see it in the background, and then it's gone, and then it's back.
Yep. And this is where the Doctor says, you know, you couldn't see it before. It was there.
Yeah.
But there was a perception filter going on. And he explains a little bit about that, but as he's trying to, another security guard or somebody else shows up for the
metro. Yeah.
They're like, all right, let's get out of here.
And Gabby's like, well, we didn't do anything wrong. And the Doctor's like, well, you want to stay and explain it? No. Exactly. So they head outside, and they're basically just talking about, like, what happened with the mirror and, like, the hallucinations that the monster caused and the causes for them. And the Doctor's like, he's talking about an Aztec god, I think, or something like that. Anyways,
yes, Black Obsidian, Aztecs liked that, didn't they? They had a god, Tezcatlipoca.
Sure, Catlipoca. Anyways.
Mm. Otherwise known as Smoking Mirror. So.
Yeah. So while they're talking, the doctor is, you know, going on through his exploits in time and space. And then he's like, well, Gabby, it's time for us to go our separate ways. Why don't you go inside, start drawing, maybe read a good book, and stay in for a couple days and pretend that you never met me.
Yep.
And so he starts walking away, and she sees him go into the TARDIS, and then she just kind of keeps going on her way. Come to the, I think this is the next day. Yes. Or is this the same day?
No, I think this is the next
day. Okay, I thought so too, but I wasn't sure because...
Or, I mean...
It could have been later on.
Yeah, but see, I wasn't entirely sure.
But see, it was really dark out and then it's getting lighter. So I assumed that it was the next day, but at the same time, then it's really dark again when she gets to the laundromat.
Yeah, I think, I believe you're right. I think it's the next day because the way she talks here, with Hector being whatever, like she came down,
yeah,
and her dad's like, you need to go there because Hector isn't,
yeah,
operational right now.
So anyway, she's pissed at her dad because again, she has to go to the damn laundromat that he just had to buy because, you know, he wanted this whole nother business and she's the one taking care of it because Hector's loopy and, you know,
yep,
her dad's got to run the restaurant.
Well, yeah. And so he can't be at two places at once.
So she is on her way there and she sees the TARDIS again there. And
your police. She
goes, yeah. She goes and knocks on the door and obviously, you know, doesn't get a response.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh, well, what am I doing? She heads to the laundromat and the door's open. Or no, she unlocked it, didn't she? I see when I saw this picture here, I thought the door was already open, but it looks like she had her keys out.
Yeah. That's actually a good. I think it was open. I think.
Okay.
Because the doctor is already in there.
Well.
No, he's already in there. Because he's in the back room.
You're ruining the story.
That's kind of loud.
Anyways, so she goes in there and she's like, oh, there's monster devils? Robbers? She's like, I don't know what's going to be in here, but she grabs a baseball bat. And right here, I totally thought it was a Cyberman.
You can definitely get that.
Yeah,
Cyberman.
Right, Cyberman. Yeah. Cyberman's a Dragon Ball Z thing. Anyways. But so she freaking bashes this thing across the head with a baseball bat, and it turns out to be the doctor in a
helmet with goggles.
It's like a spectroscope,
yeah,
type of thing. And she's like, "Whoa, what are you doing? You broke in here?" And she's like, "Cops are supposed to know better than sneaking around." And he's like, "You think I'm a cop?" And then she, you know, goes on to talk about the police box, and he's like, "Oh, well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand. You're too young." We wouldn't understand if we didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, come on, police boxes. How long has it been since those have been around?
I mean, hell, even in the 60s,
when the show originally came out,
they were already outdated.
Yeah.
But that was the whole point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, so, she, you know, basically stops him. She's like, look, you're going to explain some things. And so, as the doctor, he does explain things.
As best he can. Yeah. As best that she could understand.
Yeah. Which is, you know, how the doctor do.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps trying to, like, blow her off and tell her, you know, like, got to do these things and whatever, and you should just, you know, mind your business. And
I will say, like, this picture right here at the very bottom of that page is quite impressive. Like, they did a really good job drawing David Tennant's likeness.
Oh, yeah.
There were some times where it threw me off because they showed more him looking like him. But then I don't know if there was an actual model for Gabby. So there's definite contrast. That became really apparent during Matt Smith's time for 11. We'll get there in the future.
Where do we get there?
Yeah.
But he goes through and, you know, he's like, you know, I'm the doctor. And she's like, the doctor. Okay, doctor. So the monster in the subway was supernatural. And he's like, well, I mean...
Yeah, you believe in ghosts?
And she's like, well, yeah, you know, that's the whole Dia de los Muertos thing. And he's like, well, here, check this out. And he slaps the helmet on her. And then she gets to see these, what does he call them, pranivores?
Yep.
And they're harmless, invisible creatures that magnify empathic fields. They feed off the excess of positive emotions like excitement. And then so they talk about those. And then
the orange thing still... got me, like, I guess he uses the screwdriver.
That
makes more sense.
Yeah. Okay. See, when I first went through it too, I was like, I don't know what
the
hell's going on.
The part of war is like, cut it open for him. Like, wait, what? Now I just now saw the screwdriver. It makes a lot.
That's impressive, though.
Oh yeah.
But he's talking about how there are different, basically like planes of reality, all wrapped around, like they're all tied into the earth, and there's just different levels of it, and we don't always completely interact with them. And while he's going on about this, and she's using the helmet, they see these basically like bad pranivore things. What the hell do they end up calling them?
Cerebivores, I believe. Cerebivores? I can't remember exactly.
I don't remember where he actually names them either.
Yeah.
But anyways, so these things show up, and the doctor runs into the TARDIS, and then he shuts the door behind him and leaves Gabby out there like banging on the door. And then he gets something from inside, obviously.
A microphone.
Yeah.
He gets a microphone.
And then he takes the helmet and he's talking to
the creatures.
The creatures. And they're all like, yeah, we're bad guys and stuff, and who dares disturb our hunt? And the doctor's like, oh, I'm just gonna sit here and talk to you and bullshit.
Well,
you.
So and I mean, the doctor, he's always tries to find a peaceful solution. Yeah. And he will always cite basically law and like parlay with any creature before I'm not even gonna say attacks, because
he doesn't attack.
He never actually attacks, and this becomes apparent in the final few episodes of Tenet. He doesn't attack, but he doesn't stop other people from attacking.
Kind spoiler of. Alert. Jeez.
Okay, yeah, spoiler alert for a show that's been on for 150 years, episodes that have been on for at least a decade.
Hey, look, all right, just because you have the time to watch this.
Look, I'll give you, ask Emily, she can give you the HBO Max, they're all on there.
I think they're still on Netflix, too.
No,
no?
They took them all off.
Oh, yeah.
Well. HBO's got the contract for it.
Ah, bastards.
Yeah, they've got from 9 to, from the reboot in 2005 to season 11, which just came out like 2 years ago, so I need to catch up on. I'm a little behind myself.
Yeah, like I said, I'm still in Tenet. I watched Eccleston, and then I've never seen the old ones.
I've seen a handful of the old ones. Actually, Tom and I went to the movie theaters years ago at Regal to watch the season finale of 4, Tom Baker. From him to 5. That was, saw that on the big screen. That's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. So, while they're talking, the, whatever, the creature does this, like, weird screech thing that, kind of fucks with the doctor a little bit. And, then we see these,
They have stated that they feed off of people's fears.
Yeah, and they also state that they're going to, you know,
devour everybody.
Yep. Yeah, and that they're going to basically turn the world into a shell of, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what we see here, though, is a lot of the other creatures almost like absorbing into the workers that are around the park. They're all freaking out right now, but then it will project fears.
Manifesting like them into monsters.
Basically. If I'm looking at you, I'll see my fear on you. You look at me, you'll see your fear on me. And it's just, yes, they are looking at as monsters, zombie-esque, and that's just the current fear that those guys have right now.
And so while this is going on, the doctor is explaining to Gabby like how they work, like they feed off of the hosts, and then here we go. Cerebivores.
Ha, I was close.
Yep. And then they physically manifest into the fears that they've seen, and they basically take over whatever they are. They're parasites, basically.
Yeah.
And so they're running away, and Gabby's freaking out. She's like, no, I don't want to end up like that. And the doctor's like, don't worry, I won't let you. And so they duck down and hide, and then they're talking about what happened at the laundromat and stuff. And What else was it? Let's see.
They basically get back to the laundromat because Gabby stated this.
Well, before that, though, while they're on their way to the laundromat, they get attacked by one of the things Gabby gets.
Starts to succumb a little bit, but the doctor pushes her.
He uses the microphone to make a loud, obnoxious noise, which scares off the cerebrivores. But then all the rest of the ones that we've seen previous to this are chasing after them. Mm-hmm. They get to the laundromat, and thankfully, this is in a rough neighborhood, so they've got the chain door to put across it. And
I mean, that'll definitely hold.
The doctor, Gabby's like, yeah, all the laundry machines, started spinning, and he's like, ah, yes, well, that would make a door that they would be able to open and close that would be a sturdy door, and he's like, let's find out where they were at.
Yeah.
So he uses it to open up the portal to go back to it, and he gives Gabby the helmet so she can, be kinda guarded.
See them, yeah.
Yeah,
correct.
And she's like, well, what about you? And he's like, oh, I'm a little telepathic myself. I'll be all right for a little bit.
Yeah, just don't take too long.
Yeah. And so the doctor jumps into this portal that he made to wherever the cerebrivores came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's
where... Nope, we got a couple more. Oh, sorry. Okay. I was off on that one.
So he falls through onto this platform, I guess you'd call it.
Be like a landing pad almost, launch pad.
Yeah. It's like a staging area, basically. There we
go. Yes.
And while this is going on, Gabby is pushing everything that's not tied down in front of the doors.
Also singing to herself to keep her mind occupied.
Yeah.
Smart, actually.
And the doctor's kind of walking around in this other place that he went to, and there's all, everything's just torn up, damaged, messed up, broken. And while this is going on, Gabby sees Cindy outside and has a Medusa thing going on there.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that everybody else that they saw morphed,
completely changed,
but still, she still sees Cindy as Cindy.
Maybe that was scarier for her.
That actually, you might be. I mean, it would be very scary.
But so the doctor comes across the first dead body, I guess, of some lizard looking folks. And while that's going on, Gabby's still blocking the doors, and she remembers that the back door is needs barricaded also. And while that's going on, one of the cerebrivore, shows up and wraps its nasty looking tongue around the doctor's arm and. Is that where it stops?
Yep.
There we go.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Doctor Who story.